Hot Business on Hot 1027 is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, your partner with sector expertise and tailored solutions to help you grow with purpose and ambition. Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, I don't need to tell you that South Africa could soon face a seismic hit to its economy. With U.S. tariffs of up to 30% looming over exports like automotive, steel, aluminium and citrus, and at the same time, internal stability and delays in restructuring Eskom and logistics corridors are putting investor confidence on thin ice. So what is at stake here and how do we push back? Someone who has strong views on that is Busi Mavuso from Business Leadership South Africa. Busi, welcome to you. So let's start with the tariffs, if we can. In your opinion, which export sectors will feel the greatest pain if these tariffs hit, and how many jobs are at risk? Have you done that calculus?
Really haven't done the calculation, and I think the numbers differ depending as well on whether you're looking at the direct impact, indirect impact, and the induced effect, you know, and that number just grows, you know, depending on which way you look at it. But the sectors that are going to be impacted the most are definitely going to be mining. It's going to be manufacturing from an auto perspective, because the automotive industry is definitely a great exporter to the US directly, and it's definitely going to be agriculture. So interestingly enough, Jeremy, in the engagements that the minister is having with the US government, they are trying to see if they can't actually get a reprieve, you know, so that even if the tariffs are reimposed back, you know, the 30%, even if AGOA is taken away, can't we maybe get a reprieve for those critical sectors that are actually going to be mainly impacted?
And Busi, is your organization satisfied, your constituency, is it satisfied with the way in which government is handling this at the moment?
The minister is actually doing his best. You know, we had a conversation with him a couple of weeks ago, and he actually articulated what they're actually trying to do, what they've actually tried to put on the table for the US to consider. And obviously, we know it's not going to be an easy discussion and an easy negotiation, Jeremy. Remember, this is starting on a negative base. You know, it's starting on a base where the relationship is already fractured, and not just recently fractured, but a relationship that has been fractured for more than 10 years. So putting those people in a room and trying to get a deal out of them, we know it's always a truly going to be a negative call, but the minister and his team are actually doing their best. And yes, we are satisfied with what they are doing.
It's difficult, though, because you're urging on the one hand for more time to negotiate, but as you've said, the United States are very unwilling at this point to do so. It would seem that we are at something of a critical impasse here.
Very unwilling to do so, but also seemingly quite extractive, you know, very transactional. They are trying to get more than their pound of flesh, you know, in any engagement and in any negotiation that they actually get into, you know. So you would know that going into a conversation in an engagement and trying to strike a deal with someone whose posture right up front, you know, is that it is actually going to be difficult. It's also made more difficult, as I said, by the fact that I think the negative attention that we've actually been getting from the US has actually been very deliberate. It has actually been very strategic. You know, they are upset with us on a whole lot of fronts, you know, from the Lady R to ICJ to our proximity to Iran, to the drills that we've been doing with China, to the proximity, and I think the fact that we're part of the BRICS constituency and so on and so on. The reason why they actually have directed so many executive orders at us, you know, having and now seeing the withdrawal of US aid and so forth, all of that is actually not by chance. It's not by default, it is by design. So when you therefore a few months later try to get into a conversation with those people, we knew, you know, that this was actually going to be no easy fit.
You will concede, though, that we have scored a couple of our own goals here in terms of the rather odd choices that we've made regarding some of those issues that you've outlined.
You know, it's very interesting when it comes to matters of foreign policy, because I guess government does have the latitude in terms of doing and representing the country the best way that they see fit. They will tell you that they are in autonomy. They will tell you that they are a sovereign state. They will tell you that they actually don't have to consider the views of any other country when making those decisions. But I really think that when all is said and done, and I'm hoping that going forward, this is the posture that we'll take as a country, that any intervention on foreign policy or posture of foreign policy has to take into account the growth of our economy and jobs first. Because if we are going to make any decisions and act in any way that will compromise the economy and jobs, then I think that will actually be futile and it won't serve the country.
And bedeviling the entire issue as far as the growth of our economy is concerned are internal issues. I did mention earlier delays at Eskom, the problems with our logistics corridors, and that is compounding the pressure or the potential pressure from this tariff threat.
Yes, our domestic issues are actually adding to the pressure. But I really must say, Jeremy, that we've actually come a long way since the days of blackouts, you know, since the pre-GNU. The new ministers are really, really trying. We're seeing a recommitment to the reform agenda. We are seeing great progress in as far as the energy and transport logistics is concerned. We had a very interesting engagement with Minister Ramaphosa yesterday as PLSA, and it really took time, you know, to engage us and give us a very comprehensive update on the current state of our national electricity supply and network stability. And we are very confident after his engagement that, you know, he's a minister at work and they're really trying to find solutions. You would have seen that they've secured City of Joburg's commitment to pay $3.2 billion to Eskom over the next 4 years. He's really trying to fundraise for the 14,000 kilometers of transmission lines that we actually have to put up as a country to ensure that we can expand to the grid. You know, these are all issues that are actually keeping him awake at night, and he is really working and trying to invite business on the table to make sure that we can co-create a solution that will ensure that this country can gain energy stability and energy security going forward.
And not to take anything away from that progress, you also, though, warn of what you term execution risk, which I think is very self-explanatory. What do you think needs to happen immediately to keep the current momentum going?
We need to see, I think, accelerated delivery. There is a degree of frustration from the business community, because when you look at the work that we're doing in as far as the business government partnership is concerned, many of the plans that we had put in place, many of the deliverables that were supposed to be attained by now, you know, quite a few of them have actually not been attained. You know, we raised this sharply with the president in our last meeting on the 9th of May, and he actually took heed, you know, of our concerns. We agreed on sprint targets that we're going to be implementing for the next 3 months. And we are seeing, you know, lethargic response, you know, and we don't see the kind of momentum that we'd like to see in terms of implementing some of those sprint targets. So there is that concern, you know, that there is complacency that is now seemingly setting in. And we are pushing, you know, the president, the minister, to see if they can actually get your Eskom, your Transnet, and their colleagues to actually move at a bit of a faster pace than what we're currently seeing at the moment.
And let me just finish with tariffs, if I can. Let's assume they do hit in July in one way or another. Are there short-term steps, in your opinion, that businesses can take to cushion what is going to be a very hard blow?
Short-term steps, I honestly don't know if there's anything short-term about this. I think the one sustainable way is, and I think a lot of businesses would have been doing this already, you know, to say, how do we actually find alternative markets? I know a lot of autos are looking at probably maybe rerouting their products to the EU, you know, into the US, instead of going to the US directly, to make sure that we're actually not hit by these tariffs. So I think the issue of alternative markets, you know, is the one way that we can actually try and avert what we're actually currently facing. But other than that, this is no long a short-term solution. I think even establishing a market, Jeremy, think about it. It's not something that you can actually, you know, do tomorrow. I know a lot of people are simplistically looking at this and saying, if the US doesn't want to play with us, let's actually find new markets. But cultivating new markets actually takes time. You know, Africa, South Africa is not self-sustainable. You know, we are dependent on those markets. If we can't get our goods out to other markets, then we actually don't have enough demand in the continent, in the country, to can actually consume, you know, what we produce in the country. Our sustainability depends on those external markets. We need to be exporting at a very higher rate than what we've been currently seeing. So the issue of the U.S., if those tariffs tariffs are actually going to be reimposed back, you know, to 30%, it is going to have dire consequences on the economy, especially the fact that when you look at AGOA possibly being cancelled as well, I think that decision comes up in July or in August, that is definitely going to have a negative impact on our economy as a country.
There's no doubt we are in for a tough couple of weeks ahead. Busi Mabuso, thank you very much indeed from Business Leadership South Africa.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.